Welcome back to the Red Dice Diaries. I'm your host, John, and today I'm going to be looking at the supplement When Sea is Calling by Atelier Clandestine. Now, you may recall I reviewed their sandbox creator a short while ago. Absolutely loved that. And the good folks that run Atelier Clandestine were good enough to reach out to me and ask if I'd be interested in a review copy of When Sea is Calling, a guide for nautical adventures. Of course, I said yes. However, the folks at Atelier Clandestine have had no input or sway over what's included in this review beyond providing me with a PDF review copy. So, let's dive straight in, shall we? The PDF is approximately 45 pages long, and originally I got a little bit confused and thought that the PDF was in a booklet format and it was going to be quite difficult to read. That was just me being a little bit too overtired when I was reading the PDF. It's actually all in a four-column landscape format. And to be honest, I did reach out to Atelier Clandestine to ask my silly question, and their customer service and their response was great, being very patient with an extremely tired John and explaining my mistake. So I greatly appreciated that. Currently, the PDF for the book is £6.32, with softcover being just over £10 and the hardcover being just over £15, and that's in English money. The book is system agnostic and can be used for a multitude of different role-playing games, although it plants its flag squarely in the fantasy, sort of OSR style genre, but there's nothing wrong with that really, is there? So, we start off with the introduction, where it clearly flies its colours, not trying to authentically capture naval simulationism, but providing old school tours mainly inspired by pirate media with their own personal touches added. And I always love it when a book lays out their stall right at the start. As I said earlier, initially some of the layout of the book caused me a bit of confusion due to the four column text. I'm more used to seeing that in sort of booklet things, but that was just me being a little bit overtired. And like I say, Atelier Clandestine were great and very patient in explaining that mistake. So great customer service there. Thanks very much, guys. They came back quickly, pointed out my mistake, etc., and encouraged me to have another look at the PDF. Great customer service, even for my ridiculous question from someone who is clearly too tired to be reading a PDF at that time of the evening. But anyway, never mind that. We get an encounters table here that at first glance looks fairly simple, containing only the following options: a 1 to 2 ships, 3 to 4 something goes wrong, 5 monsters, and 6 special. However, each of these options breaks down into a further D10 table, which provide more details, so it would be very simple to just roll the D6 and the D10 at the same time to get your final results. The table results themselves are nice and varied, covering the gamut from finding haunted ships, becoming lost at sea, tearing sails, encountering harpies, and all manner of cool marine-themed stuff that would feel right at home in a swashbuckling tale of derring do. Next up, we get the ship generator, which again has a series of random tables allowing you to determine everything from what faction a ship belongs to, the type of vessel it is, any special equipment it has, what cargo it's got, and if anything unusual is taking place aboard the vessel. Now, I love this since it would make it pretty quick to come up with an interesting random encounter if the PCs come across another vessel at sea. We also get a couple of pages which cover tables to determine the flags of a ship, the figurehead, and the crew. And these are all very good, although I'm not sure how much use I'd get out of the flag page, since after using these tables, I'd have to create the flag myself using the guidelines, and if I wanted a picture of it, and there are numerous random flag generators online where I could just print it out afterwards. However, I think it's a necessary inclusion given the importance of flying the colours to the theme of naval exploration and adventure. And there are some black and white and grey designs that could easily be grabbed from the PDF and recoloured using even the most basic of graphics packages. We then move on to the real meat of ship combat and determining ship stats, with ships being given 6 attributes that abstract the various characteristics of the vessel, which is a wise choice as far as I'm concerned, since I'm not sure you could represent ships 100% accurately in a game, and I'm pretty sure I personally wouldn't find it fun if you could. The 6 attributes are cannons, maneuverability, hull, speed, tonnage, and crew. As written in the PDF, the stats for the ship are generated randomly, which I thought was inappropriate, given the OSR leanings of the PDF, if odd choice. Most RPGs I've seen with a nautical theme have classes of ship all with the same stats. However, When Sea is Calling takes a different tack, giving random stats and then modifiers that apply based on the type of vessel. And it feels appropriately old school in my opinion. Combat basically proceeds similar to how it would in many RPGs, with the attacker rolling 1d20 and adding their cannon stat, while the defender rolls 1d20 and adds their maneuverability stat. If the attacker wins, the damage is deducted, based on the type of ammunition used, and the encounter continues, assuming the hit vessel is still afloat and doesn't surrender. We get some advice on running crew combats and chases, in addition to a nice simple chart that gives approximate gold piece values for various common types of cargo, along with guidelines for upgrading, repairing ships, and how ship stats convert in case you want to attack a giant sea beast or something that uses more normal stats. Next we get a lovely page showing silhouettes of 7 types of ship along with their cost in GP, followed up by a page containing the stat modifiers for the various ships ranging from caravels all the way up to galleons. There's also a small section on running monster ships, which for simplicity's sake are simply classified as small or large, with the stat modifiers provided being used for any non-water adapted humanoids. We also get a random ship name chart, which is divided by faction and has a few Mad Lib style entries where you might roll, for instance, holy noun, for example, and then you roll on a separate table to determine what the noun is. This section is followed by a simple map or deck plan of a caravel and a frigate. These are done in the same simple sort of cartoon style as the rest of the art in the book, but I think it works very well here, not feeling too cluttered. I just wish we could have got the diagrams for other types of ships too. Although I'm glad they included a diagram showing the shipboard directions, since I'm always forgetting those when naval escapades come up in games. Following on from this, we have a series of tables for generating pirates, everything from their name, along with a colourful nickname, their appearance, what sort of outfit they wear, why they took up a life of piracy, etc. And then we move on to a series of monsters and NPC stat blocks, the bad guys of the sea, which are all fairly simple and could be used in most OSR-style or D&D-style games. And although we don't get loads of monsters here, there is a nice peppering of sailors and admirals, these stat blocks doing double duty as pirates and legendary pirates, respectively, and then a few sea creatures. We round this bit off with some random charts for legends and some things you might find discarded on a beach. The next section is a little hidden gem as far as I'm concerned, and contains, amongst other things, some rules on fishing. And these adapt to the foraging and hunting rules from D&D of yesteryear, where you have an X in 6 chance of catching a ration's worth of fish, which is modified by the gear used and circumstances. It's nice and simple, but also includes some optional rules if you want to bring in a bit more colour and potentially have fishing lead to some tricky situations. We then get a table of whale encounters, which, given how iconic the idea of encountering whales at sea is, makes a lot of sense. Followed by a diagram of a whale and general guidelines on what parts of the whale could be used for by those societies that hunt them. It's all very interesting information and will be a real boon to a GM running a pirate setting who is maybe somewhat less familiar with such things in real life, like myself. We follow up with a series of maps for a small sample hex coral campaign, which I won't go into in too much detail since I don't want to spoil it for anyone running it, but there's enough adventure and mystery in this map to keep your players occupied for some time. And one of the benefits of a nautical campaign is that expanding it would be as simple as adding more water around the edge of the map and dotting some more islands in. Scattered amongst the details for this starter area are some random tables for generating everything from coastal towns to underwater finds and various sorts of intrigue that the factions may find themselves involved in. Now, although I said at the start I'm not a massive fan of landscape books, I do think that, despite my initial confusion, the layout works pretty well for this book, allowing sufficient space to group together the various tables for a particular subject on a single 1 or 2 page spread. The tables themselves are an eclectic mix of great gaming fodder that covers many things you would expect to find in a pirate or nautical themed setting, and some that you may not have thought about. Whilst not the most comprehensive supplement for pirate and naval games, I think that When Sea is Calling hits just that right level of detail for me, not drowning me in excessive text, but giving enough of a flavour that it sets my mind racing with the possibilities of such a campaign. In fact, I like it so much that before I'd even finished reading the PDF for this review, I'd already placed an order for the hard copy version of it. The writing style is nice and informal, without seeming irreverent, and it's clear the authors have a real passion for pirate films and swashbuckling tales, and this really shines through in the writing. In my mind, this is a really excellent companion to The Sandbox Generator by Atelier Clandestine that I reviewed some time ago, allowing you to take your hex crawls out onto the ocean waves, fly the colours, and take up the life of the Brotherhood, although you could just as easily run a solely naval campaign, which I think would be a great thing, to be perfectly honest. If you're at all interested in running a naval game and you want a set of simple but flavourful rules and a background materials, in my opinion, you should definitely pick up a copy of When Sea is Calling by Atelier Clandestine. So there we are. That's it for this review. Thanks again to Atelier Clandestine for providing the PDF copy for review. I hope you've enjoyed this review. If you have, please feel free to like and subscribe. And until I see you next time, take care. And whatever game you're playing, have fun. We'll see you soon.